Let us pray. God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds that as the Scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and be taught your will. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our New Testament scripture this morning is from Romans, the 6th chapter. We're going to be looking at Romans several times in the next few weeks, so this is a beginning. This is the 6th chapter, beginning with the first verse. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin, once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Matthew, 10th chapter. Beginning with the 24th verse. Listen for God's word. Jesus is speaking, and he says to his disciples, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell it in the night. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whosoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whosoever does not take up the cross and follow me is worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In light of what's going on in the world today, one word seemed to jump off the page as I read the scripture this morning. And that word is fear. Fear. Today, in this age of coronavirus, we are all fearful people. We are fearful of people around us who are not observing social distancing, not wearing masks, who want to hug or at least grasp your hand. We're also fearful of those throughout our land and the world who are gathered to protest. Not just of the protest, but of the fact that in many cases this turns into mob violence and looting and destruction. One last thing. We in this congregation are fearful of is the future. Less than 2 years ago, the spiritual leader who has been with us for some 27 years retired, and now we're faced with this pandemic and cannot meet with the familiar confines of the sanctuary. We cannot socialize with those most important to us. We cannot welcome or be welcomed by those around us. It's within this mood that I would like to approach the gospel teachings for today. The gospel readings for the rest of this season of Pentecost and for the rest of the lectionary year will be primarily from the book of Matthew. We know that Matthew was a tax collector who not only collected taxes, but also collected stories about Jesus. Matthew organized Jesus' teachings into chapters 5, 6, 7, also called the Sermon on the Mount, and he then combined into many of Jesus' miracles in chapters 8 and 9. And now he has put his teachings about discipleship in chapter 10. And we heard the last verses of chapter 10 today. Jesus was sending the 12 disciples out into the country and villages to proclaim the kingdom of God being announced through Jesus, to heal the sick and to bring wholeness to the people. Whoever in those areas welcomed one of the disciples welcomed Jesus himself. And whoever welcomed himself, Jesus, welcomes the Lord God who sent Jesus. And the other word that caught my eye as I went through the scripture was welcome. But first of all, the disciples were being sent on a mission. So what does this teaching have to do with us in our lives some 20 centuries later? I couldn't help but think, but that here at Rock Lake Presbyterian, we're in the midst of being sent into the world with a mission. What then do we see as our mission? And how do we go about it? We have done and are still doing mission in a number of ways. And as I see it, we will be determining what else the Lord has for us, for this church, to do in the future. But one of the things that has to be considered first is what Jesus said. And that is, do not fear. As I looked and thought about fear, I couldn't help but think about what my worst fears have ever been. And I vaguely remember falling off of a top bunk in our bedroom when I was a toddler. From that time on, I have had a fear of heights. Now, when I went to work at the power plant, I had to learn to trust the expanded grating that served as flooring in the upper parts of the plant. I became accustomed to walking on them and looking down through several floors, finally feeling comfortable about their sturdiness. In fact, I would be somewhat amused at the reluctance of some of the visitors that came to the plant who would step off the elevator on the 19th floor onto the expanded grating, only to look down and immediately step back to the security of the elevator cab. Fear has a huge number of manifestations, like the one I just mentioned. It can also cause us to panic, like in this pandemic. It can cause us to worry and be anxious. It can cause us to dread, to be afraid, to be apprehensive, to be scared. All of these have a negative interpretation. All of these cause us to not go forward with doing what we need to do. Henry Nouwen, the noted theologian, said it well in a quote about being afraid. Here's what he said. Am I afraid to die? I am every time I let myself be seduced by the noisy voices in my world, telling me that my little life is all I have, and advising me to cling to it with all my might. But when I let those voices move to the background of my life and listen to that small, soft voice calling me the beloved, I know that there is nothing to fear, and that dying is the greatest act of love. The act that leads me into the eternal embrace of my God, whose love is everlasting. So then, what is Jesus saying to us about what it means to welcome others with the Spirit of Christ? This is an important question. First impressions are so important. A new person or a guest sizes up a person, a community, or an organization within a few minutes, whether or not they are accepted or not, whether they will make friends or not. The quality of the welcoming is a sign, a signal, a symbol of what will happen later. If you are welcomed warmly in the first encounter, you would expect to be loved and accepted later. Whenever a group of people welcomes someone into their friendship pattern, that new person normally comes back. The power of Christian group friendship is enormously transforming. Our scripture today also describes an act of welcoming and acceptance is shown by giving a cup of cool water. a cup of cool water is a symbolic gift, a symbol of meeting another person's essential need. It is giving a new person full acceptance and importance as they are recognized. It is this deep sense of acceptance which is like a drink of fresh, cool water. Often, we as Christians undervalue the power of being genuinely and deeply welcoming as a community. The people who are visiting our congregation may be seekers or they may be old-time disciples. Either way, in the text for today, Jesus wants us to welcome them as we would welcome Christ Himself. But there is a problem. Inherently, in every event of the church, in every worship service, the natural inclination is to be friendly to your old friends and not truly genuine to incorporate new people into the worship and work of the congregation. This pattern is as old as the human race. We continue to be friendly with our old friends and often unconsciously screen out other new people from our friendship patterns. Just remember, Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." As I close, let me just say, remember, fear not. God is near. And I also say to each of you, welcome. Let us pray. Oh God, open our hearts and minds to you, and help us overcome the fears that hold us back from being your disciples. And assist us to open ourselves to others, both our old friends, but more especially those who might become a part of your body in this church. We do pray that you will be honored and glorified through our actions. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand, and as we say what it is that we believe, using the brief statement of faith from the PCUSA, join me.
In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.